We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
All right, let's talk about the rest of the offense, Brian. Let's start. We'll just kind of go in order here. Running backs. We saw a little bit more from the running back room than we thought we would, at least more than I thought we would. I thought it was going to be more of a pass-happy type of game, but we saw a lot from the running backs today. I thought, you know, we saw Jeremiah Love. We saw Aeneas Williams run the ball really, really hard. You know, obviously, you know, some other guys got in there and got into the mix, right? Fisher got in there. Justin Fisher, it's a walk-on, but he ran the ball hard today for the gold team. And then even saw Devin Ford get some time in the backfield for the gold team as well, because their numbers were a little bit thinner, I would say, in the running back room than the blue team was. So you saw some guys getting some touches that you may not figure, but I thought the running game, I thought those guys competed, man. They ran hard, and the first overreaction that I'll put out there is that Jeremiah Love is going to be really freaking good. You put the ball in his hands, good things are going to happen, whether you're handing it off, whether you're, you know, doing a reverse, whether you're, you know, getting him the ball in throwing it to him, whatever the case may be, when the ball is in number four's hands, good things are going to happen. Holy cow, man.
Well, you know what I think, Vince, is honestly, like, that stuff doesn't even do anything for me with Jeremiah, because I just know who he is. And when he does things like, yeah, that's Jeremiah. That's what you expect. Man, the things that I like today. But you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, sure, Jeremiah can make people miss and run. Like, I mean that as a compliment. It's right. Just kind of like, I expect that. You know, I watched as I broke down his senior year. I watched him go for 300 yards in the state championship game. Like, that dude's a – like, Jeremiah's when the lights are bright, that's when you need to be worried about Jeremiah if you're the other team.
Sure.
Right? Like I don't think Northern Illinois needs to be as worried about him as Florida State does. You know what I mean? Like, he's just that kind of guy.
Makes sense.
That he can't go off against Northern Illinois. It just means that's when you're getting the really locked in Jeremiah. The stuff that really impressed me today, Vince, was more of the times where it was third and one or second and two, and he would sit back there in the pocket or in the behind the line, stay on his track and run slow and wait for the blocking to set up and then boom, hit 3 yards.
Sure.
Like, that's the thing that guys like him don't often have, that patience to say, I only need three here. Because, like take Josh Adams, for example. Every time Josh Adams touched the football in 2017 and 2016, he was trying to score a touchdown. And while that sounds good in theory, on second and two, when there's not a hole, I don't give a rip about you trying to cut back 15 times, and that'll work against Miami of Ohio, but you're going to average 2 yards a carry against Georgia. And that's exactly what happened. The thing I love about Jeremiah, and he did it last week as well a little bit, but the thing that he did today, Vince, is when it was second and two or fourth and one, Jeremiah said, I better make sure I get that two first.
Right.
Then once I get that two, if I'm still going, then I can go do something with it. That's that level of discipline and patience that you need to have to be a great running back. Jeremiah is always going to be a highlight reel guy. That's not a doubt.
Right.
But you don't win a championship with a guy who's just a highlight reel guy. You're going to win championship with the guys who also understand on second and one, I got to get the one first and foremost. And then if my line does its job or I can meet a guy in the hole and run right. him over, then I can go do my thing. But that's happening after I get my one. And I didn't know that Jeremiah was going to be that because he was still learning as a high school football player. He started to show that in the playoffs of his senior year. Jeremiah rushed for over 1,000 yards as a senior in the playoffs.
Oh, my goodness.
And he started to show that natural – because he was more of an athlete playing running back. And as he got into his senior year, you started to see more and more and more of that. And this year, you've seen even more of that in the practices, but also in the scrimmage and then today, where it's second and two, get the two. And then we can figure the rest out later. And then when he got the ball in space, then the highlights happen. But here's the thing.
Sure.
There's going to be times when you don't get the highlight reel play because you didn't pick up the one on third and one. You know, let me get the highlight reel play on first and 10 after you got the third and one, and then we get you the ball in space. But I need you to get me the one sometimes. And the fact that Jeremiah has shown an understanding and a willingness and a physicality, that's the big thing too, Vince, to say, hey, when I got to put my shoulder down and get one, I'm getting one.
He's not afraid of contact,
man. Help me out on third and one, coach. I got this. You know, and that's the thing you love to see. Because Jadarian has it. He showed it in high school, and he showed it in Notre Dame. Does Jeremiah have it? And in the last two live game situations, the game Saturday and then the game today, Jeremiah has shown, if I need to put my shoulder down or be patient or whatever to make these plays, and I'm going to make them. But if you let me get the ball in space, you're going to pay for it. And like even the 18-yard run on was it fourth down when he had that first long run he had?
I don't remember it being a fourth down, but I mean it's possible.
It a third down? Let me go find that drive when he had that really nice. It was like an 18-yard run from him, and I remember it being like a short yardage situation. I thought it was third or fourth down, and just the patience he showed to hit that play. You're just like, man, that's a really savvy run, because if he tries to get there too soon, then the play doesn't work because the hole isn't open yet.
Right.
And so the patience that Jeremiah has shown as a runner it's something I hoped he would have, but he still needed to show in college. And he has now shown that on multiple occasions.
Absolutely.
And I'm looking through my notes now and I can't find that particular play, but yeah, it was an impressive play, Vince.
For sure.
It was a really impressive play.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on PrizePicks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So let's talk about Aeneas Williams, because obviously new to the team. A lot of fans have not seen him run. He runs the ball hard, man. Like, he runs the ball hard. He almost craves contact, it feels like. You know what I mean? And it almost feels like he runs harder after first contact. You know, he's a guy I'm not afraid.
You saw that too?
Yeah. He's a guy I'm not – you're not afraid to put the ball in his hands in that third and one, third and two, fourth and one kind of a situation and feel like, you know, even if the line doesn't get a great push here, it's still going to get the first down. He's going to find his way, I feel like, on the field somehow, some way, because he just runs the ball hard. You know, I don't know what he can do on the outside in a breakaway situation or, you know, whatever. I don't care right now. He runs the ball hard. And I love that. I always told when I coached running backs or I was coaching offense, it's like, I want a kid who's going to run the ball mad. And it looks like he runs the ball angry, which I love that from running back, man.
Vince, you know I love movie quotes, right? But you remember that scene from it's the opposite of Groundhog Day, right? Like, you remember that scene in Groundhog Day where Bill Murray's like, don't drive angry, don't drive angry. Right. Like, no, I want a running back driving angry. Yes. You know what I mean?
100%.
Here's the thing, though. You can play out of control in that type of thing. But Aeneas did not do that. He did not play out of control.
No,
he plays like he knows, hey, if I gotta show some patience here. There was one read he made today where I thought he bounced it one too many times to the backside. It's going to happen.
Right.
But I just want to say something too. What a great job by Dylan McCullough to do two things. Number one, identify players that have a high football IQ.
Sure.
And then continue to enhance that when they get here. Because here's the thing about what you just said. They all show this to a degree. They all show this patience. This ability, hey, I understand what's happening. I know that sometimes I'm going to have to let things happen, then go. And Aeneas had two short yarded situations. I think he had a fourth and two that he, again, get to your mark, plant your foot in the ground and bull forward. That if he doesn't put his shoulder down and hammer that guy as hard as he can, he's not getting the first down. And his leg drive is impressive. He's got really nice feet. He's got really nice foot quickness. He runs with authority, and as I said today, his performance was better than the 3.9 yards per carry average that he had in the game. He played better than that. He graded out better than that, in my opinion.
Right.
I got to go back and watch it. I didn't see him in pass pro, so I can't tell you how he did in pass pro. I'd have to go back and watch that.
Sure.
But as a runner,
Man,
it was impressive. And here's the thing, like Jabron Payne had a good day today. Again, a couple times I thought Jabron cut it back one too many times, but he ran with authority. He knows how to get skinny. He knows how to hit the holes. He showed good patience.
He had some good bursts today, I thought.
Yes, he did. He got when he saw those inside zone holes, he would slam that sucker vertical and get yards. Average fight, he had 58 yards on 10 carries. I thought he had a really good day. Got to hold on to the football. That's going to be the big thing for Jabron. You got to hold on to the football.
Absolutely.
But he had another day, too. I mean, we've always said this. If you ever have to go to battle with Jabron Payne as your starting running back, okay, cool. He'll give me 100.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, if for some reason, God forbid, you've got to go into the season and Jabron Payne's your number one, all right, they'll have a 1,000-yard back. It may not be as special and dynamic and flashy as Jeremiah Love or Jadarian Price or Kedron Young or whatever, but you're going to look at the end of the day and be like, wow, that kid had 18 carries for 102 yards and had four catches for 26 yards and moved the chains. And, boy, he didn't blow me away with numbers, but you're looking at the day, you're like, wow, he had a pretty good day.
Right.
And that's Jabron. Right. And here's the thing. As good as those three kids looked, we didn't see Jadarian Price, and we didn't see Kedron Young.
Right. Absolutely.
And Justin Fisher goes over there. Hasn't played running back in, what, 3 years?
Right. I mean,
he was kind of a running back in high school, right?
I was going to say, he was a quarterback but a triple option.
Exactly. Yeah,
right.
But, I mean, he ran hard. He's hitting duo right up the hole. Again, hang on to the football.
Right.
You know, but he caught five balls today. And
He's versatile.
Then Devin Ford moves over from defense, and he makes a play. You're just like, dude, this is sick. This is stupid. Like,
I know.
You
know,
you got walk-ons looking better than some backs that they've had on scholarship in the past.
You're not wrong.
You know, but like this is such a loaded backfield. It's an absolutely loaded backfield. It really is because they all run with such authority and patience. They understand that sometimes it's okay to just get two. And because if you do that, you're going to have more opportunities to then hit the home run. Keep those chains moving, and then eventually that home run chance is going to come, and they can all hit it to some degree. But, you know, Jabron did a nice job of letting the blocking get that movement and then get behind it and go. Aeneas did that very, very well as well today too. Like, what was the touchdown run he had, the play right before the touchdown run that he had? Let me find that because I thought it was Jagasol. That would have been the second – The third drive. Yeah, they ran an inside zone for 9, and then he had the 7-yard touchdown. But he was kind of patient with it, left the left side of the line, just blow that up, and then just got right behind him for a big game. So I was pleased with all the running backs today.
Yeah.
I thought they all played well. They're stacked. They're stacked at quarterback, they're stacked at running back, they're just talented guys. And then receivers the same way, Vince. You know, I mean, do you have anything you want to add about the running backs? I thought it was a good day.
I think you're good.
Let's go to the receivers.
Yep.
Guys, I'm telling you, Jaden Greathouse did not have numbers that reflect how good he was
today. Oh.
And he caught, three balls for 38 yards.
And they were all towards the end. I mean, they were later in the game.
He got pissed at himself when he had that drop.
100%.
And then he went out and just started like, okay,
went
get
off.
Me the – yeah.
But he was visibly frustrated in the first half, Brian. That he was as wide open as he was,
and he should have been
the football.
He should have been. I'm okay with it. Like even on the ball that they threw to him, they got broken up. I think Steve threw that, and you told me he got hit. Well, first of all, Steve made two mistakes on that play. Number one is he should have hit the post. Now I understand what you're saying about it, but like my thing is when that guy's running here, then you've got to throw the post behind it. Okay, whatever it is, what it is. But if you're going to hit that over route, throw it now. He let Jaden Osbury catch up to Jaden Greathouse.
Yes.
And then when he got hit and the ball kind of floated, it broke it up. But if you throw the ball sooner, then guess what? Boom, you're not gonna have that. And then he was open on CJ that missed him on the play where he was wide open and he just didn't throw it to him. And he was put his hands on his – or was that Steve?
It was Steve. Bill. Yeah, it
was he was frustrated today that and he should have been. He should have got the ball more than he did.
Yes, absolutely.
To be completely honest with you. From what we were told, he just got rolled up on a little bit at the end of the scrimmage. Nothing major from what I'm told. But no, I thought Greathouse looked the part today. Just knows how to get open, plays with speed.
Yep.
You know, had that drop, but then again, that's going to happen. Jerry Rice, I'm sure, I know dropped balls before, but what do you do when that happens? With Jaden, he got pissed off. And then, starts going off, and he has the 4th and 6 catch, and you're just like, this is that guy.
I remember, I remember looking at you and be like, he was pissed off he wasn't getting the ball. Not one gets thrown his way, and he dropped it.
Yeah.
He's like, he's about to go off.
You said that to me. You said that to me. Because he just has that aura about
him. Right, exactly.
Like, oh, you guys are not going to be happy that
you're poking the wrong bear at this point.
And then there was like that was one of the mistakes CJ made was a ball to Greathouse. He threw a seam route to Greathouse. It was the right read, but he just made it late. And that allowed Kingston to come over and break it up, so
he was open. It was the absolute right read.
He was open a lot today. I'll tell you who had the most encouraging day for me. It's Deon Colsey.
Yeah.
Like I said, like, and this is the frustrating thing about Deon. I'm just going to be honest. Cause I'm pro Deon Colsey. I think he's got loads of talent, but last week, Vince, I'm just watching the kid you saw today is not the kid I saw last week.
Right.
The kid I saw last week is going through the motions. Just didn't know he wanted to be out there. The kid I saw today, you can beat a lot of people with that kid today.
Absolutely.
I mean, just little things like getting open. Somebody had said, actually, and when they reminded me of it in the chat, he is the only guy that I think caught a ball on Christian Gray today. He was getting open. He was level on his end cuts. He was doing a good job on a stop cuts. You know, getting open on that sideline route, breaking his route off when CJ scrambled, getting open. CJ hits him for 18 yards. But then even something like that, he prevented an interception.
100%.
He knew he had no chance of catching that ball. CJ got hit. Ball was underthrown. Deon knew, I got no chance at this. And I'm like, oh, interception. Like, we're all like, oh, Christian's about to pick that off. Deon came down and smacked Christian Gray and broke the pass up. He played the role of DB. That's not going to show up on the stat sheet other than an attempt by the quarterback.
Right.
That's a huge moment in that game. And so those are the things that you look at and say, that's the Deon Colsey I want to see more of. That's the Deon Colsey that can be Notre Dame starting boundary receiver. That's the Deon Colsey that can go out there and have a Miles Boykin type breakout season.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if I'm going to get that guy from day to day. So for today, I'm going to rejoice the fact that we got that version of Deon Colsey because he did the little things. He was down. I mean, there was a couple times too, Vince, you and I looked at each other like, dude, Deon was open on the post on that one.
Right.
You know, and
today's the day you want to throw him the ball because he was making plays.
Yeah.
You know, he was making plays. And I will say that neither CJ nor Steve were afraid to throw him the football. I mean, because look, if he's going to be giving the effort like we've seen him give sometimes in a negative way, sometimes quarterbacks aren't going to want to go his direction. They went his direction with confidence today. Both guys.
Yeah.
Obviously, CJ early and then Angeli late. But they both went his way, and he rewarded them, right? He rewarded them, and he also rewarded CJ by not letting that pick happen. Mm-hmm. Look, I've seen plenty of wide receivers in my day just let that ball get picked off. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Ah, I got underthrown again. You know, it's not going to come to me, whatever. I'll make
it's the tackle, quarterback's fault. He didn't make the right throw, and he would have been correct.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. But he made a play on the ball, on the receiver, quote unquote, since it was, since it was Gray, it was a defender. But he dropped his shoulder and put a hit on him. I mean, that is why Christian Gray dropped that ball, is because he got hit. No question in my mind. And so that was a huge play. It was an absolutely huge play. So I was very impressed with Deon Colsey. That was the Deon Colsey that we think he can be. And I hope that he can replicate that, not only in games, right? Because if he doesn't do it in practice, he's not going to make the six-man rotation. I mean, I'll just say it, because there's a lot of talent in that wide receiver room. And we heard that, Coach Brown wants to have a six-man rotation-ish. He won't have an opportunity to make those plays in a game if he doesn't do it in practice. And so my hope is that he can take this performance, springboard it into the summer, and then, of course, into fall, and become one of those six, become one of those guys that they can count on, because he has the ability, man, to do it. He has the absolute ability to do it. So I hope he does.
Yeah, no doubt. KK Smith, a little up and down today.
Yeah.
But you saw the good version of KK. There was the one ball in the end zone. He mistimed it. It's the one, it wasn't in the end zone. It was deep. I think CJ threw it, and it hit his hands as he was falling down.
Oh,
if he times it a little better, because Micah Bell didn't quite know where the ball was. Mike actually was in pretty good position, but CJ threw a great ball.
If it's KK runs that route like Micah Gilbert ran that route, I think,
I think he would have had to go up for the ball. Because the way that Micah Bell played, because I know you were looking at the line on that particular play. So what happened was is Micah actually caught up to KK because Micah can fly. And CJ saw it, and CJ threw the ball kind of back shoulder-ish.
Okay.
And Micah just timed his turn to the ball too early. And so he was kind of coming down as the ball got to him. If Micah times it a little bit better, he's got a better shot of making that play.
You mean KK?
KK.
Yeah.
And so that's, I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of what it is.
Gotcha.
He needs to do a little bit better job on that last fourth down throw of fighting for it. But CJ's got to get that ball about 4 to 6 inches closer to him. Just neither guy did a great job there. And it was pretty good coverage by Micah Bell on that play as well. But overall, solid day. You know, did a nice job. He got free on that post-snap switch. He showed good timing of it. Got outside on that particular play. Got free for a big play there. You know, I thought he had a solid day. A little up and down, but a solid day. Micah Gilbert had the drop on the first drive, which you got to make that play.
I have to. But that was a third down. That was a big one.
But he also made some plays in the game. The touchdown catch he had, the first one was because Mike had two on the day. But the second one was more about good win at the line. He won at the line. Boom, over. I think he went against Marty Auer on the play. So it's kind of like, okay, I don't get too fired up about that one. But – you know, but he still did a nice job of getting back out. Technically, he was sound on that. I'm not like Micah Gilbert knows how to win at the line. It's like on that play because he beat Marty Auer, who should be playing safety. He's only playing corner because they've run out of corners, right? Like, let's be honest about that.
Sure.
Because of injuries and transfers and stuff. And the two freshmen aren't on campus yet. But the technique was sound and he caught the ball, I mean, cleanly in a decent window. The first one was a thing of beauty, events, because he wins outside and he's playing Micah Bell and he knows he can't outrun Micah Bell. He knows this. Everyone knows this. Everyone on the receiver knows I can't outrun Micah Bell.
Right.
So what Micah Gilbert did a great job of is he beat Micah off the ball and then stacked him. And that's a perfect example of why you stack a corner, because once I stack you, I don't care what your speed is because you are on my backside now. You're on my inside cheek. You can't do it. But Micah Bell did a really good – this is going to get confusing. Micah Bell did a nice job of staying right in that hip and making the window to throw over him tight. Mm-hmm. What a lot of receivers will make a mistake there is they win and they're so wide – that it's either dropped on my outside or it's out of bounds or incomplete. But what Micah Gilbert did a great job of is winning and then leaning back in on the vertical stem, which gave him room to outside. See, Kenny perfectly placed the ball outside towards the pylon. And then Micah, it was really savvy. I don't know if you all could see this. This is one of those ones where I'm curious what the people that were in the stadium saw this. But Micah Gilbert is there. He stays vertical. He knows the ball's coming outside. He stays vertical and then accelerates outside away from Micah Bell. There's nothing Micah Bell could have done about that. Great route, great ball, really smart play by the quarterback and the receiver to where once you won on the line, that corner was in a bad spot. It was going to take the quarterback not placing the ball where it needs to be or the receiver not stacking for him to recover.
It's a thing of beauty.
It was great.
I mean, it was a thing of beauty. You can't play from a receiver standpoint. You can't play that any better than Gilbert did. And then you add to it the ball that Minchie threw. And it was just beautiful from start to finish. I mean, that's what it was. It was beautiful from start to finish. And it kind of gave a glimpse into what Micah Gilbert can be for this team. And it's, gets me excited, I can tell you that right now.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
We talked about Dion, talked about KK, we talked about Micah Gilbert, we talked about
Great House.
I don't know that did we miss anybody at receiver? I'll tell you what, Jack Poling's a good little football player, man.
Yeah. Oh, he can really make a team. He can make a lot of teams.
He's a good football player, man. And I'm not saying this to be disrespectful, but if I was still like at Duquesne or something like that, or at Valpo, I'd be begging that kid, play your fifth year for me.
Yeah.
That's like, he's a good little football. He's a little bit more athletic than I thought. Like, there was one play, he was going in a jet motion. I'm like, dude, Jack is moving on this jet motion. Like, he is moving. He's a tough little football. Cause he, Vince, you and I have been standing next to Jack Polian. He's not a big kid.
No.
And he competes for the football now. This is the second week in a row because he made a play. He made a couple plays last week where he caught the ball with the guy on him. And he's a good football player, man. Like, he's that kind of guy. And they'll get Leo Scheidler back, who's injured right now. But Leo Scheidler's another walk-on receiver. You're like, that guy's a good football player, man. And, you know, Jack Polian's a good football player. So they had some good moments there. And then, you know, Chris Mitchell had a solid day, but – you know, the he didn't get a ton of targets today, but he had a really nice, he ran a really nice stop and go route on that last one. I mean, and then once he realized he had the guy beat, he accelerated past him.
Oh,
and then ball and then went and scored. So it was good to see him kind of break out and make a play as well. Quick, let's just, anything else about receiver events?
No, I think we hit it.
Tight ends. Yep. For those who were concerned about whether or not Mike Denbrock was going to throw to the tight end position, I told you guys that was more about a byproduct of the talent he had at LSU and the makeup of that roster. And when I mean talent, not that he doesn't have good players at tight end, but he had Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers and guys like that, a receiver. And then this year they had a lot of injuries at tight end as well. So it was Mason Taylor and then not a whole lot else. So Cooper Flanagan had three catches. So that's three for the tight ends. Henry Gary had a catch today for the tight ends. And then Jack Larson had four catches, so that's eight. And then E. Raylan had five catches. That's 13 catches for the tight ends today. Mike Denbrock is not gonna avoid throwing to the tight ends. Right?
Yep.
They're going to get the ball. I thought it was great to see Eli out there making plays. And Eli's another one that his numbers should have been better than they were. He was open on another seam throw, and that's when Steve was late getting the ball out and got hit. He's got to hit that a little bit quicker. But overall, I thought he did a good job. The touchdown throw, it was kind of funny. I don't know that he was quite sure what he was supposed to do because he was running kind of slow. But Steve got the ball out real quick.
All of a sudden, here comes the ball.
Schuler came over, kind of tipped it. Eli showed really good focus.
Yeah, he did.
That's one of those ones where that ball probably should be on his back shoulder. If we're being honest, when you got to see that safety squeezing down, you got to get that ball kind of here on Eli so that way Adon can't make that play on it. But overall, I thought the tight ends had a good day today. Cooper had a drop on the sideline.
Right.
But I'll give him that one because he also made a great leaping catch on another ball. And Jack Larson showed the kid's a good football player, man. I don't know if he's physically ready to block all the time yet, but Jack Larson showed today, I know how to run routes. I'm a good athlete and I catch the football. He's not a burner.
Yeah.
But that's why you saw today, Vince, why I compare him to Nick O'Leary. Remember the tight end Florida State's title team in 14?
Yep.
That's Jack Larson to me, man. Same he's never going to blow anybody away with speed, or he's not 6'6 or 6'7 like the other tight ends. Kid just knows how to get open.
Yeah.
He just knows how to get open, man.
He's the same number as Nick O'Leary, too, wasn't he? 42? So.
85. He's 85.
Oh, Henry okay.
Garrity's 42.
Garrity's 42. My bad.
Yeah.
Were the tight ends attached very much? I felt like they were split out.
No, they were.
Okay.
Especially when they went 12 personal. Yeah, they were attached a decent amount today. More than I saw them at LSU.
Okay. That's gonna be a rewatch for me to see how they blocked and things like that.
O'Leary was 35. That's why you're thinking that they were similar. Okay. It's the five.
And so I'd have to go back and watch how they blocked. I know Sherwood was in there and he did some of the classic kind of H.
Yeah, and he got called for a bad hold.
Yeah, he did.
Yes,
he did. So, but from a receiving standpoint, I thought those guys did a pretty good job. And they're going to be weapons this year. There's no doubt about that. Denbrock will use the tight ends. If anybody's nervous about that, don't be. He's going to use every weapon in the toolbox this season, guaranteed. And tight ends will be one of those weapons for sure.
Yep, absolutely. Overall, I thought they played well, had some good moments. Eli looked like freshman version of Eli blocking at times today. When I watched him, he had a really nice block on the touchdown run by Aeneas Williams. So that was good. I didn't see much of Cooper blocking today, honestly. I didn't notice one way or the other. I just didn't see it. Like I'll see it more on the upon further review type of thing. So, but overall, good day from the tight end position. I'll watch more when I break down the film. I want to talk about the O-line, Vince, because
we had some fun talking about the O-line during the game.
We did. There were some good and some bad from the O-line today.
For sure.
And part of that is because they're going against a really good defensive line. Part of that is because they have work to do. And let's just talk about who we both felt was the most impressive player today from the O-line. 5-0. I thought Rocco was really good today.
He really was.
Again, I'll have to go back and watch the film to see how he did in pass pro and all that. But when I saw him in pass pro, he handled himself well. But he was moving people in the run game. There's a play, Vince, where he's going against 330-pound Sean Savolano, and he blows him like seven. I made you watch the play because you were – there were times when – so Vince and I try to tag team certain things. So, like, on certain drives, hey, Vince, watch the secondary, watch the receivers. I'm going to watch the line, right? And so he was watching the secondary on this particular play, and I made him go – I had it on my screen. I said, watch this block. And Rocco comes off against Sean Savolano and just blows him off the ball.
He like,
I
think got him on next.
Yes.
Got him under arm and just blew him seven yards to the right.
No. Like, yes. Ugh. Yes. 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 Correct. Correct.
You know what I mean?
Skates. That's a 330. That's not, that's one of the few guys Rocco's going to face that weighs more than he does.
Right.
But then his best block of the day was
the touchdown.
There was a couple times where I thought him and Charles Jaggers saw some really nice double teams where they would get a push. Then Charles would come off to the line. Because there was one pass, like, did you see Charles Jagasaw block Jalen Snead 7 yards down the field?
Right.
It's not that he drove him 7 yards. It's that he went and blocked him 7 yards down the field. They got a really nice double team on the zone, and then he came off to that to block Jalen Snead down the field.
That takes time.
Yes. But the touchdown run by Jeremiah, I think it was the Jeremiah Love touchdown run. It was Kenny Minchie.
It's Kenny Minchie because
Jeremiah was on the other team.
Yep.
He destroyed Donovan Hines, who had a pretty good game.
Right.
Like, Donovan played pretty well otherwise, and Donovan was really good last week. But Donovan tried to go mano a mano with Rocco Spindler, and Rocco was like, nope.
Like,
I got you by 50 pounds because you're getting worked.
I want to set this up because if people didn't watch it, you need to go back and watch it because – they had Charles Jagasaw got out in front of that running play, okay? And he was leading the way for Kenny Minchie, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Rocco Spindler wasn't even supposed to be out there leading the way on this run. That wasn't what he was. He was just supposed to occupy the defensive lineman and just block him, right? Mm-hmm. No. He took him and drove him not only down the field but to the left, and it looked like he was supposed to be out there lead blocking for Kenny Minchie on this run. I mean, he just absolutely destroyed him. I mean, just took him up and to the left and across the goal line and led block essentially for Kenny Minchie, even though that wasn't even what he was supposed to be doing. That's how good of a block it was.
So why I felt Rocco played better today was he didn't look smaller. He didn't look like he's lost 15 pounds. He was doing a couple things well. He was moving his feet well. He never got flat-footed like he did last year, where he would just plant his feet in the ground.
Right.
He was more agile. He was like moving his feet, and it's not so much that maybe he got quicker, but it's more so a technique thing. Just keep working your feet. Keep working your feet, because when you're that big and you're not a great athlete, when you stop your feet and then try to go again, you're gonna fall down like you did against Duke last year. It was one of the more embarrassing plays of the year. But today, Rocco kept his feet moving. He kept working, but he also played with really good pad level. Because the only way he can get under Sean Savolano's 6'1". Rocco's 6'4". The only way to get under that guy's armpit and drive him off the ball is because you beat him at the low point. You got lower than he did. And that was the thing I saw from Rocco today. Charles Jagasaw had some issues in the pass pro at times, but those two working on that is – we'll get into big picture stuff, but today that was a dominance. They kept cutting right back behind him the whole game. Then they ran the touchdown at them. Like, that was a side when the goal team needed yards, that's where they went. And those two kids got a push. And then Ashton Craig was part of that as well. I thought Ashton played well also. So that was like, okay, that's a lethal duo in the run game. They got really good movement today. Really good movement today on the gold team. So that was very good to see. The center to the left side of the offensive line of the gold team in the run game was pretty good. Chris Tarek had a really good early block. He just struggles with speed right now because his technique is not where it needs to – it's not consistent. But when Chris Tarek knew where to go, he got some good pushes as well today. But I thought Rocco Spindler was hands down Notre Dame's most consistently impressive offensive lineman other than Billy Schrauf.
Yeah.
Billy, I thought for the blue team. I thought those two guys to me today were without a doubt the two best linemen. I'd probably put Ashton Craig next. Mm-hmm. Just the steadiness from that group. They were really good. Really good. Today, I thought Billy also Vince today had, and you pointed it out a couple times as well. You're like, they cut right behind Billy Schrauf on that play.
Yep. Yep.
Now, and there was
where he blocked his guy.
Yeah.
A ways down.
He got, he was part of that play where Jason Onye split him and it was Sam Pendleton. And Billy's got to do a better job of squeezing that off. That was a double team. He came late to that double team and Jason Onye just mashed him.
Was that the sack?
He knocked down Angeli.
Yeah.
But that was a heck of a play by Onye. But Billy's just got to be a little bit better coming over there to meet that double team with a little bit more force. Outside of that, I thought Billy had a really good day. Mm-hmm. I thought the interior those three interior guys were hands down the best today.
Yes.
I thought Christopher Tarek had some moments. I thought that Sam Pendleton had some good moments blocking. Rough day snapping, also had some really rough plays because you could just see the snapping was getting in his head a little bit, and that was causing him to think too much, which was then hurting him in the run game and in pass pro. So Stam's still a work in progress. He struggled today. Jagasaw was up and down. He had some good moments in pass pro and some bad moments in pass pro where he didn't have the urgency. Like, here's the thing. You're facing some dudes with some twitch on the blue team. Boubacar Traore has the best first step that Notre Dame has had on the D-line since Julian Aguar in 2018. Like, that's how quick Boubacar is off the ball. He's just got explosiveness. And RJ Oben, we'll get into that later, but their speed gave Charles problems, but he just wasn't getting out with urgency. That's the thing. He's got to know to get out with a little bit, not out of control, because then they'll just hit you with double teams or get up on you and drive you back, but he's got to play with a little bit more urgency on the edge. He had a little bit of a rough day, and that happened last week too, Vince. He had a couple plays where he got beat around the edge because he didn't get out with enough urgency. So that's a problem. But run game wise, he's money.
Yeah.
Pass game wise, he's still a little bit of a work in progress. Right tackle. Well, let's stay at left tackle. Sylvan Absher today is a lot like Charles Jagasaw. He's going to have some issues with speed rushers on the outside, but in the run game, there was a couple times I pointed out to you, I was like, hey, watch this block by Sylvan Absher. He gets some movement in the run game. I mean, he got some movement in the run game today. But, you know, again, just a little bit of consistency there. I mean, I honestly, from what I saw of Sylvan Absher today, I would strongly consider moving him over.
Giving him a shot. I was just going to ask you that. Yeah. Give him a shot.
He played better than the two right tackles. He played better than Emil Wagner, and he played better than Tosh Baker today, in my opinion.
Yeah,
he did. You know, he did. So that was good to see. He's just not a left tackle, Vince. He's just not a left tackle. And so I would consider doing that. I would consider doing that. Yep.
And I will summarize what you said to me in the press box about right tackle. We came into the spring with a question mark at right tackle, and we're leaving the spring with a question mark at right tackle.
Yes.
I mean, that's the best way to put it.
Didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I mean, I have my moments.
Yeah, you do. And I want to repeat it so everybody knows. Everybody can feel like they were in the car with us. But I mean, that's absolutely true. I mean, there were some good things, but there were more questionable things than, you know, obvious good things, I would say. It's still a work in progress, man. I don't know what the answer is at right tackle now.
The thing is, the problem is that, you know, you and I had to remind ourselves of this in the car. You're like, look, we always tell people not to make too big of a deal out of the spring game, but here's the difference in this particular case, because we're looking at, this is what we've been seeing,
right,
with Emil and Tosh. Tosh will have some really good. He had some really good snaps today, but then there's just times where he comes off too high, or he doesn't quite get out of a stance well enough, and can get beat on the edge, or they get under his pads, and it's just the lack of consistency from Tosh. We saw it last week. We saw it today, where he'll do some good things, but when he gets beat, it's very noticeable, and that's why people think Tosh doesn't play well, and it's like, well, because when he gets beat, it's noticeable, but then you study it, and you're like, well, no, he graded out pretty well.
Yeah.
But it's just like, but when he gets beat, and that's the thing I said in the show, I think it was yesterday or no, in the Blue Gold game preview on Thursday, Vince, I said, look, the thing with Tosh is he's not going to be a dominant player. I don't need him to be. Just do your job every time.
Yeah.
And the problem with Tosh is he just has those snaps. So he's just got to learn to be more consistent. Keep your pads low. Work your feet. Use your hands. And today, and huge kudos to Al Washington for this, but across the board, the hand play from the defensive line was just better than the hand play of the offensive line. That's just something that we saw today. But, you know, people saying Tosh isn't the answer. They got to give him Emile more snaps. And I'm like, guys, Emile got plenty of snaps last week and plenty of snaps this week, and he just doesn't make plays. He just doesn't flash. And so neither one of those guys have played very well. Now, I'll go back and watch the film, and maybe Emile played better when I watch the film, but when I'm watching it live, I just didn't see it. I just didn't see it. So it's still a question mark. I thought Pat Coogan also struggled today. He got bullied a few times, and that's something he's going to have to work on. He's going to have to work on that aspect of it, of just not getting bullied and not allowing himself to get pushed around the way that he does at times. And he just didn't get the movement you'd expect a junior who's a senior now, who's a second year starter, to get pushed around.
Yeah.
Joe Oddings, very much a work in progress. He needs a lot of work. He's still learning. That seeing a lot of those guys are learning, and Ty Chan showed today kind of what the fear has been all spring. He just doesn't have it. He's just not that.
He struggled. Yeah. Offensive face mask at one point, you know, it was because he got beat. I mean, he was just trying to do whatever he could to save his quarterback at that point. Yeah. It wasn't a great day.
Yeah. So again, it's Charles has got to, you know, it's about consistency with the tackles. That's just like, look, you show good moments. It's just, you got to avoid the bad moments.
Right.
And that's kind of where they're at with that, Vince, because that's the issue. But love what I saw from Rocco Spindler.
Oh.
Loved what I saw from Billy Shrouth. Loved what I saw from Ashton Craig. Saw some flashes from Christopher Tarek. You know, again, he's got some beef to him.
Right.
And when he gets his pads on you and he's low and he's driving his feet, you're done. Just take the L, go down. I mean, just like go down and that's actually an actual teaching point. Like when you're getting whipped,
just
go
down. Make a pile.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't get driven off the ball. Go down. Right.
Make a pile.
You know, clog up the lane kind of thing. And so, there were some good things. I didn't notice Anthony Knapp or Peter Jones today. I know they were both in there, but I didn't have eyes on them. So I'll look at them when I break down the film and do some follow-up stuff for the message board. And so you guys will get a chance to see that. I'm going to probably do an upon further review tomorrow, but it's going to be for the message board only, breakdown of that. But so I'll pay attention to some of those guys as well. So just offensive line is a lot like last week, just up and down.
Yeah.
The run game, the thing is, Vince, and you said this, and I want you to talk a little bit about this. This is why it's actually a good thing. Why I feel good about the line. They got a lot of work to do, but I feel good about it because today, the one thing you hoped is like, Duke, they got some beef at least. Can we just at least see you guys move some people? And today, we did. I mean, they moved the pile well today.
Right.
They did a good job getting a body in a run game and driving the defensive line off.
Yes.
And that was a good sign.
We're not seeing the issues that we've seen from the offensive line in the past, where they stop moving their feet or, you know, something along those lines. Like they're fundamentally strong. They're the fundamentals that we want to see from a Notre Dame offensive line, from the guys that we think are going to be gaining playing time, are strong. And that's a great place to start. Now they just need to build on it, and they need to get reps with the five, whoever they think that's going to be, you know, coming out of this. I think I know who four should be. I don't know who the fifth is necessarily, but I really like watching the
you just had left. To. We said we weren't going to say that today, but you just had to. You're so fired up about it. It's okay.
My bad.
I get the way he played today, man. I am with you.
Let me just say this. I just really like the way the left side of the gold team played together today.
In the run game.
I really like the way they played today. I'll just say that. Yeah. We can project later, but I really like what I saw from that, and I really like what I saw from Billy Shrouth. There were a lot of good things to take away from the offensive line, but there's still work to be done.
Yeah.
And the fall is going to be a time where hopefully some of those questions get answers. Yeah, absolutely.
And the thing you guys have to remember is they're going against a really good defensive line.
very good.
Like a really athletic, good. You know what I mean? Like they're gonna yeah. have some losses right. in those situations.
Yeah.
We had a super chat from Trevor Rock. He said, ooh, nice. Brian and Vince, I'm coming in. Thank you for the super chat, my man. I'm coming in late today celebrating my wife's birthday. My wife Lindsay's 40th birthday. She's been in the hospital. As you all know, she's battling, I believe, cancer, I believe, right? She's been in the hospital rehab for 3 months. She's been home for 3 weeks.
Nice.
And we thank God for that, as do we, my friend. Who impressed you on the offensive line today? And so that's kind of what we were getting into, Trevor. I would say the top three, no doubt about it, standouts for me today. Gold team, it was Rocco Spindler and Ashton Craig. Blue yep. team, it was Billy Shrouth.
It's the interior.
Right. And then if yep. I had to pick a fourth guy that really impressed me based on just uncertainty, I really liked what I saw from Sullivan Abshur today. I thought Sully had a really nice – and again, just like Jagasaw, a little bit of a work in progress in the pass game, but I really liked what I saw from him today and what he showed from a run game standpoint. That kid can move some people.
Yeah.
And so that would be the four for me that stood out the most to me. And yep. I know Vince was loving what Rocco did today. A couple of times I had to kind of show you on replay, and then all of a sudden Vince is like every play for like next series, like, did you see what Rocco did?
Like, now I'm watching. See what you did? You created a monster.
Yeah. But thank you for the super chat, Trevor. And yeah, we're so glad that Lindsay's home. And I know that she's still in that battle, man. And it's a long, long battle. We're praying for her. We're praying for you. And we're glad that you could join us today and
happy talk birthday about this
game. And wish absolutely, Vince. I was going to – that's yep. – Vince got me. Wish her a wonderful 40th birthday.
Yeah, man.
But here's the only, can I give you some marital advice, Trevor? For the next 5 years, you should have just kept telling us that it was her 39th.
Yeah.
And just kind of stick on that for a while. But no, man, we're happy that she's home with you.
100%.
And we're praying for her, so keep us in the loop on how she's doing. But hey, keep fighting, Lindsay. Absolutely. And wish you happy, very, very happy birthday. Absolutely. So, Vince, I think that'll do it for the offensive side of the ball. But before we go to the ending here, before that, though, we do have to give out some game balls.
Ooh.
So, let's give out game balls for the gold offensive team and the blue offensive team for today.
Okay.
Do you have yours, or do you want me to start?
So, I can go gold for sure.
Okay.
So, my gold game balls are going to go to Micah Gilbert and Rocco Spindler. Those are my two game balls for the gold team.
I'm picking one, and I'm going with Rocco. I thought Rocco was the guy that really set the tone for the gold team today. But I'm also okay if you wanted to go Micah. He had to drop early, but he bounced back, and he made some big plays in the game and had some big catches. So I'm good with that one as well. Gold, blue team, if you want – I mean, I think I know who the two would be on this one as well. But I got to go with Steve Angeli on this one. I do. Because he stepped up and led him on the two late touchdown drives to pull ahead and then to twice and take that lead. And I got to give it to him. Yeah, he had some issues. I'm okay if you want to go Jeremiah Love. I can get that one too.
Sure.
But look, I bang on Steve a lot. I do. And I think it's justified, and it's just evaluation analysis. But the kid stepped up and made those game-winning throws today. He really did.
So I will go with Billy Shrouth on the blue team and Jeremiah Love. That's mean. It's mean. It's mean. And for those out in podcast land, he's showing me a slice of pizza. It's messed up. But anyway, so those are the two I'm going to go
that
with.
That is Jeremiah Polito's, Love, Billy Shrouth. By the way, over on Hickory in South Bend. And you've had Polito's, correct?
Yeah, it's great.
Yes. Yeah, so my wife surprised me. She didn't time it up quite well because she didn't think the show would be 3+ well, freaking hours today.
I know.
In her defense, we should have been off of here by now, but
fair.
I'll be punishing this a little bit. Go ahead.
I'm going to cheat, and because I'm a cheater, but I'm also going to give give another game ball to the green team, and I'm going to go CJ Carr to the green team because I can. So that's how I'm going to do.
When you're an OG, you can do things like that, baby.
I realize the numbers are very thin on the green team, but I want to shoot some love to CJ because look, and the reason being, I wasn't there last week, and I heard all the glowing, you know, remarks about CJ Carr and how the ball looks coming out of his hand and all of these different things and the decision making and all that. I didn't see it with my own eyes, so I got to see it today, and it impressed me. Like this is kind of old hat for people that got to see him last week. I didn't get to see him, so I did want to throw some love his way just because I love his poise in the pocket. Of course, there's things he needs to work on. We talked about that earlier, but he played well. He played well, and it was just different when he was in there. So I do want to give him a game ball. So I cheated and gave it for the green
team. For the record of people talking about defensive players, these are game balls for the offensive guys. Correct. We haven't got to the defense yet.
Which is scary. We'll get there. But we'll get
there.
Yeah.
Vince, when we do get to the defense, we are going to need to kind of, you know.
100%. Yeah. I know I've got a water softener that's going to go off at some point too. So. Yeah. But before we get to the defense, make sure you like, subscribe, hit that notification bell, share with your family and friends, and get on the boards because Brian is going to do a pawn for the review tomorrow. He's going to do it solo because I got to be on the road, but it's only going to be on the board. So boards.irishbreakdown.com. And if it's on the boards, that means there's going to be some actual video to the pawn for the review. So you want to make sure you check that out because there's going to be some good stuff there. We've already talked about some of the video that he's going to use, and you're going to like it. You're going to want to check that out. So make sure you check that out.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.